GH, Gurna, Udgurna, one. Radharan is manifestation of Udgurna. After Krishna had gone to Mathura city, is clearly described in the third act of Lilita Madhava. Okay, well that's... Anything else? No, that's it. Udgurna. In the third chapter of Lilita Madhava. So if we want to know more, we'd have to read the third chapter of Lilita Madhava.
The verse, the last verse you guys
read. It's with When ecstatic emotion of enchantment gradually progresses, it becomes similar to bewilderment. Then one reaches the stage of astonishment, which awakens transcendental madness. Udgurna and Chitrajalpa are two among the many divisions of transcendental madness. Uddhava tells Krishna, agitated by your absence, what astonishing condition has Radharani not attained? Imagining that she will meet you. She dresses and decorates herself nicely and carefully, arranges a bed in a forest cottage. When you do not come, she feels you are unfaithful, and she becomes angry and ferociously criticizes the dark rain cloud. Yearning to meet you, she staggers out into the frightening darkness to search for you. Radharani is manifestation of Udgurna after Krishna has gone to Mathura city, is clearly described in the third act of Lalita Madhava. And
you're reading from?
Ujjvala Nilamani. And Udgurna. Okay, this is Bhaktivinoda Thakur Gita Mala. Devyamad is of two kinds, Chitrajalpa, wonderful talks, and Udgurna, agitation. Chitrajalpa is of many kinds. When the state of Mohan, bewilderment, Shirada attains the state called Madan, wild passion. These are the ecstasies of her eternal pastimes. Vijay Kumar, Jaiva Dharma. What is Udgurna, Goswami? Many different kinds of activities may be called Udgurna. When Krishna went to Mathura, she had a manifest Udgurna. Bas. And Udgurna, agitation, Act 3, Lalita Madhava. Quote, why do the cows, their eyes flooded with tears, refuse to eat the grass before them? Why, overwhelmed with emotion, do they not lick the calves near their mouths? Why do they break the directions with their lament? Alas, alas, Krishna's Sharabi cows on this path are on the verge of death. Purnamasi Vidagda Madhava sees Krishna from a distance and says apprehensively, Krishna's agitated eyes move to and fro, and his sights wilt his jasmine garland. Who is the fortunate beautiful girl that makes him always think of her?
What wilts the jasmine garland?
Agitated eyes move to and fro, and his sighs wilt his jasmine garland. Then Stavavali Raghunath Das, when will I serve Shirada, whose complexion eclipses the splendor of gold, whose smiling, beautiful young girl, who's gloriously dressed in the red silk garments, whose splendid moving braids are decorated with peacock feathers, and who happily captures a glimpse of Lord Mukunda from the corner of her eyes. That is everything on Udgurna there. And uh, And now we're on. Yeah. So, would you like to read?
36. Rajendra Kula Dubda Sindhu Krishna Tahe Purna Indu Janmi Kaila Jagat Ujora Kanchamrita Jeva Piye Narantara Piyajiye Braja Jane Nayan Chakor. The family of Maharaj Nanda is just like an ocean of milk, wherein Lord Krishna has arisen, like the full moon, to illuminate the entire universe. The eyes of the residents of Braja are like Chakora birds that continuously drink the nectar of his bodily luster and thus live peacefully. Sakihe Kota Krishna Karaha Darshan Chaneke Yahara Mukha Nadakile Vate Bukha Shigra Dekaha Na Rohe Jivan. My dear friend, where is Krishna? Kindly let me see him. My heart breaks at not seeing his face even for a moment. Kindly show him to me immediately, otherwise I cannot live. Avrajanar Ramani Karmaka Tapta Kumudini Nija Karamrita Diyadana Prapulipta Koreje Kahan Mora Chandra Se Dekaha Saki Rakamur Pran. The women of Vrindavan are just like lilies growing hot in the sun of lusty desires. But moonlight Krishna makes them all jubilant by bestowing upon them the nectar of his hands. Oh, my dear friend, where is my moon now? Save my life by showing him to me. Karamrita, nectar of the hands. Kahan se chudha tam shiki piche udan. Nava mege yena indra danu pitambara tadijuti mukta mala baka panti navambura jene sham tanu. My dear friend, where is that beautiful helmet with a peacock feather upon it, like a rainbow upon a new cloud? Where are those yellow garments shining like lightning? And where is that necklace of pearls that resemble flocks of ducks flying in the sky? The blackish body of Krishna triumphs over the new blackish rain cloud. Ekabar cha nayane lage sara ta hridaye jage Krishna tanu yena amra ata Nari mone paisha hai, yatne nahi bahirai, tanu nahi seva kule kanta. If a person's eyes, even ones capture that beautiful body of Krishna, it always remains always prominent within his heart. Krishna's body resembles the sap of the mango tree. For when it enters the minds of women, it will not come out, despite great endeavor. Thus, Krishna's extraordinary body is like a thorn of the Seya Betty tree. You know what a Seya berry tree is?
No. I expect that it's something like a fish hook. That once it goes in, it doesn't come out.
Jiniya tamal juti indra nila samaganti se kanti te jagat mataya shingara rasa sar chani tate chandra jyotsna sani jani vidi nirmila taya. Krishna's bodily luster shines like the Indraneela gem and surpasses the luster of the Tamala tree. The luster of his body drives the entire world mad because providence has made it transparent by refining the essence of the mellow of conjugal love and mixing it with moonshine.
Time will now, because providence has made it transparent by refining the essence of conjugal love. Conjugal love is blackish. So she says, the lesser drives until made it transparent. Transparent. That's very interesting. Yes. Transparent. What is the word for it? Transparent.
And the Tamala Jyoti, Tamala trees have luster.
Have luster. Savakantite. Savakanti. Anyway, transparent by refining the essence of conjugal love, which is, I mean, the essence of that blackish color, and mixing it with moonshine. So that it has its own luster.
So you're taking it that Sringara Rasa Sar, essence of the mellow conjugal love, means the essence of the sham color?
Conjugal love is blackish. Every different types of love, different types of rasa have color associated with them. It's in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And conjugal love is black. A conjugal ras is black.
So you mix that with Chandra Jyotsna, the illumination of the full moon.
Illumination of the full moon, especially the full moon.
And then you've got transparency.
I guess what it means is that the illumination is so strong that it gives a sense that the black is not just a defined, that here is this color and a millimeter away from it is something else, but that it sort of comes out and gives a sense of transparency, as if it's a three-dimensional color. Depth, transparent.
So you see through it to what?
Well, you see through it until further black. You can't see straight through.
Kahan se murli dwani navabra garjita jini jagat akarshe shravane yahar uti daya vrajajan trishita chataka gan asi pie kant yamrita dar. The deep vibration of Krishna's flute surpasses the thundering of new clouds and attracts the oral reception of the entire world. Thus the inhabitants of Vrindavan rise and pursue that sound, drinking the showering nectar of Krishna's bodily luster like thirsty chatak birds.
Krishna's morally divinely is a deep vibration. Which I understand. How Krishna's voice is deep, that's not so easy to understand. Especially, for instance, it's even there when in Brahma Vibhohana Lino, where Krishna's talking to Brahma, and he says Krishna's deep voice, but he's just a little child, he's only 5 years old, and he's got a deep voice. Usually the two are considered somewhat synonymous. The inhabitants of Vrindavan rise and pursue that sound, drinking the showering nectar of Krishna's bodily luster like thirsty Chakora birds. So they...
Chataka? Is that the same as Chakora?
Chataka, excuse me. No, one drinks moonshine, mm-hmm. one drinks cloud shine, or cloud rain. The inhabitants of Vrindavan, so they're actually attracted by the flute sound, and then what they end up seeing is Krishna's bodily luster, which showers them. You get the shower of Krishna's bodily luster.
Kanchamrita dar, the showers of the nectar of Krishna's bodily luster.
Mm. Kanchamrita dar.
Morase kala nidhi prana raksha mahaushadhi saki mora tenho suhittam deho jie tanha vine duk e jivane vidi kore eta vindambana. Krishna is the reservoir of art and culture, and he is the panacea that saves my life. Oh, my dear friend, since I live without him, who is the best among my friends, I condemn the duration of my life. I think that providence has cheated me in many ways.
He is Kalanidhi, the reservoir of art and culture.
Yes, I like in your commentaries whenever you extract from the verse those various names.
You have a commentary?
No. In your commentaries of Vidalap Kushmanjali, you almost always will extract such names for Radharani and call her by that name in the commentary.
Kalanidhi, and well, it's interesting because what does Krishna eat? How does Krishna dress? How does he look? What is his interior decor? What is his construction? What is the music? That's really culture. That's Gaudiya culture. That's culture for devotees. To say that, you just tag on Krishna consciousness to any culture is all right initially as a preaching strategy, but ultimately we're going to a certain type of culture. Isn't it? Kalanidhi. And Krishna has his preferences.
What would you say to the assertion that is sometimes made very definitively sounded, that no religion in the world has continued to exist with its original cultural trappings. It always transmutes, it always changes based on its new locations.
Does Islam do that?
I don't know much about it. Whether it's, I would say yes and no. I mean, obviously, people I see in New Zealand, at least the Muslims have varying degrees of adherence to tradition.
I mean, my answer would be, well, yes, those are quote-unquote religions, but do they just started at a certain historical culture, and therefore it's reasonable to understand that they're moving on with the history of culture. They don't have a particular definition of culture as defined in spiritual realm, as I mean, the absolute realm. That never changes. It's always like that. It's just fixed.
I mean, the Christians are not wearing, you know, Palestinian attire from 3,000 years ago.
Yeah.
Carrying shepherd's rods. And so because no information of the spiritual world and the original culture of the spiritual world.
Unchanging culture. Mm. That's always like that. Then why is it unchanging? Because it's not subject to the modes. Mm.
So the question is always put forward. Why did Prabhupada bring what we know as Vaishnav culture around the world? Because was it a preaching strategy? Because young people liked exotic cultures, especially from India at that time? Or was he really thinking this is the original culture of the spiritual world? Or was he thinking, besides the young people, the counterculture was being attracted to something exotic, he was also planning to take them to India and impress the people in India?
And, when Prabhupada was in India and he got aboard the Jaladuta, dressed as he was, and everything, he wasn't thinking about young people. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he even knew the existence of hippies. I guess he may have from newspapers and stuff. And in the very beginning, when he was at whoever it was, Ramakrishna and so on, we had him, or Radhakrishna, or anyway, we had him at lunch in uptown and eat with knife and fork. And Prabhupada said, I haven't come here to take anything, I've come here to give. So it didn't seem like, you know, Prabhupada wasn't just making an adjustment because they liked Indian things. Prabhupada wasn't an Indian. Gaudiya Vaishnavas are not Indian, although they live in India. We're not Indians, so we don't live in India.
And now I see amongst, let's say, our Indian congregation who are under 30, they come to temple in regular Western attire.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes even shorts, you know, in Australia, the hot part of Australia, they'll come with shorts.
Now, you can't go into a mosque dressed like that. Mm. Why? Because they stick to their... And you can't go with a short skirt into a mosque. You can't go into with a top into a mosque.
Well, growing up in the Christian church in the 50s and 60s, it was always suit and tie.
Yeah.
It's not like that now. Now it's just, you know, come as you are, just come.
Unfortunately, it's like that. And, you know, I see it in the UK. It's not just under 30s, it's over 30s as well. So, ladies dressing in saris. When I came to the UK, you know, some lady not dressed in a sari was a rarity. I'm not talking about devotees, I'm talking about guests. A man were always in pants. Never shorts. But now ladies come in in pants and tights, in all kinds of attire. And these are older women as well, not just young ones. And it's rare to see somebody in a sari. Rare. Small minority. And I watch. And it's unfortunate. That's a change in 30 years, just like that. Adopting Western so-called culture and dressing like that and living like that. And devotees also, initiated devotees. Hare Krishna. Kamaniti, reservoir of art and culture.
The panacea that saves my life. So here begins the accusations against Providence. And the next verse is going to tell us it's not only accusations against Providence, but also against Krishna. Ye jana jite nahi chai, tare kene jai, vidi prati ute krode shok, vidare kore bartsam, Krishna dena orahan, pari bhagavate ekashlok. Why does Providence continue the life of one who does not wish to live? This thought aroused anger and lamentation in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who then recited a verse of Srimad Bhagavatam that chastises Providence and makes an accusation against Krishna. Aho vidatas tavana kvachidaya samyoja maitriya pranayena dehinaha tams chakritar tan viyunangsh yapartakam vachastitam ter bhaka chastitam yata. O Providence, you have no mercy. You bring embodied souls together through friendship and affection, but before their desires are fulfilled, you separate them. Your activities are like the foolish pranks of children. Purport. This verse, quoted from Srimad Bhagavatam 10:39-19, was chanted by the damsels of Braja when Krishna left Vrindavan for Mathura with Akura and Balarama.
Let me just see if...
Want to look that up? Is that, they could look it up?
I'm seeing if there's any commentary. No commentary.
Oh. Vishwanath doesn't comment on it.
No, this is just RBBT. I'm sure Vishwanath comments.
Should we look at it?
Sure.
10:39-19. Sorry, I went to the wrong chapter. Okay. Sri Gopya Uchu Aho Vidatastava Nakwacha Daya Samyoja Maitriya Pranayena Dehina Tams Chakritar Tan Viyunanksha Partakam Pakritatam ter bhakachetitam yata. The gopi said, O providence, you have no mercy. You bring embodied creatures together in friendship and love, and then senselessly separate them before they can fulfill their desires. This whimsical play of yours is like a child's game. Vishwanath. As in the case of meeting him, the gopis could not find any reason for Krishna leaving them. So they began to criticize the Creator. O Creator, your act of injustice is astonishing. What is so unjust? You do not have one drop of mercy. This is very unfair. How have you concluded this? You bring together people in friendship and intense mutual exchange of mind, life, and intellect, and then separate them again without giving them a chance to enjoy. Jiva Goswami. In being separated from Krishna, they search out another reason. Thinking the Creator is the cause, they criticize him in three verses. Aho expresses lamentation. O Creator, you make everything happen. You should be merciful to all living beings, but do not have any mercy at all. They indicate his lack of mercy by showing what he does. The jivas living here and there, identifying with their bodies, are brought together as friends only, and then develop affection. This is your arrangement. They indicate that in their meeting with Krishna, they have no qualities to deserve it. It is arranged by the Creator. The word api means and. Then you separate them, though they are not fully satisfied, and they have become useless in their various actions. Apart to come means that which has no goal. Why do you bring them together? Without being satisfied, why do you separate them? We do not understand. If there is a reason and a goal, it is improper to suddenly separate those who have come together. An example of uselessness is given. Your playing is like actions of a child, which have no reason or goal. The actions are performed out of foolishness. In his commentary, Sridhara Swami says that Maitriya means affection based on performing beneficial acts. Pranayana means affection based on a relationship of love. Or you bring together people with friendship, which is actually pure prema, and then separate them. Back to Chaitanya Charitamrita. Na janis prem mam vyarta karis parishram tor chesta balaka saman tor yadi lad paiye tabe tor shiksha diye eman jena na kodis vidan. Providence, you do not know the purport of loving affairs, and therefore you baffle all our endeavors. This is very childish of you. If we could catch you, we would give you such a lesson that you would never again make such arrangements.
That's funny. If we could catch you, we... Why is that capitalized?
Good question.
Gopis aren't an uppercase, are they?
No. Maybe someone's thinking, besides being a mistake, someone's thinking, this is Radharani talking. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was speaking in her bhava.
Okay.
Are vidi tui bada itnitur Anyonya Dhulab Jana Preme Karanya Sammilam Akritartan Kene Kadis Dura. O cruel providence, you are very unkind, for you bring together in love people who are rarely in touch with each other. Then, after you made them meet But before they are fulfilled, you again spread them far apart. Sounds like torture. You made them meet, but before they are fulfilled, you spread them far apart. Are vidi akarun degiya krishnanam nature mana labaila mor. Chaneke karite pan kari nila anyastan papa kaili datta apahar. O Providence, you are so unkind. You reveal the beautiful face of Krishna and make the mind and eyes greedy. But after they have drunk that nectar for only a moment, you whisk Krishna away to another place. This is a great sin because you thus take away what you have given as charity. Make the mind and eyes greedy. Nature mana lobaila.
You know what happens if someone gives something and that takes it away, Maharaj Mriga, then they're destined for a very bad destination. And this is where this is where destiny or providence is bound.
Great sin.
Great sin has been committed.
But Kylie had performed a most sinful act. Akura kore toma dosh. Amaya kene kara rosh. Eha yadi koho durachar. Twi akura murti dhari. Krishna nili chori kari. Anya nahe aiche vyavahar. Oh, misbehaved providence. If you reply to us, Akura is actually at fault. Why are you angry with me? Then I say to you, Providence, you have taken the form of Akura and have stolen Krishna away. No one else would behave like this. So a few verses ago it was, if we could catch you, now it's, then I say to you,
Yes.
Apana karmadosh tore kiba kori rosh daya moya sambandha vidur je ama prananath ekatra rahi yan stat. Say Krishna Aila Nitura. But this is the fault of my own destiny. Why should I needlessly accuse you? There's no intimate relationship between you and me. Krishna, however, is my life and soul. It is we who live together, and it is he who has become so cruel. So now it's shifting from providence, focusing fully on Krishna.
Udhukurna, madness.
There's no intimate relationship between providence and me, but Krishna, he's the one who has become so cruel. Sabachaji bhajiyanre. Se apana hate mate, nari vide Krishna nahi bhoy. Tanra lagi ame mori, ulati na chahe hari, chana matre bangila pranoy. He for whom I have left everything is personally killing me with his own hands. Krishna has no fear of killing women. Indeed, I am dying for him, but he doesn't even turn back to look at me. Within a moment, he has broken off our loving affairs.
This is the nature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's like when Gadadhar Pandit accompanied Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Vrindavan, and at a certain point, Lord Chaitanya said, you have to go back and take care of Gopinath. And he said, I serve Gopinath a million times by serving you. And Lord Chaitanya said, no, you go. And he got in a boat and Gadadhar fainted, and Lord Chaitanya didn't even look back. And there's a couple of instances like that where Lord Chaitanya just walks away.
Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya collapsed on the ground.
When he left Puri.
Yes. He went with Mahaprabhu for a few days and then that was it. Someone picked him up off the ground, just told him, this is the way the Leela is.
Vairagya, detachment. Always purchased by love, but then still, anyway, this is mystery of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He just turn his back on his devotee and walk away. Otherwise, how could he tolerate this? How could he tolerate gopis crying when searching for him in the forest? And, I mean, ultimately he comes, he reveals himself, but that's his game.
Oh, I wanted to ask you, where is it, do you remember, in Brihadbhagavatamrita, you mentioned about how the holy name comes of its own accord?
I said that yesterday?
Yes. Your tongue may be vibrating it, but actually the name is...
Oh, that's the Vishnudutas. Mm-hmm. When he came to Mahakalapur and Lord Shiva arrives. And then after Lord Shiva come the Vaikuntha Dutas. And the Vaikuntha Dutas, you know, first they preach, they sort of undo some of the preaching of the Kumaras in Tapaloka about, you know, meditation within the mind as being the ultimate. And then they talk about bhakti, seeing the Lord's eyes and engaging one's senses. And towards the end of their discussion, I think it's end of chapter 3, then it's there. It's at the end of the chapter. And the chapter 2 or 3, no, 2 is Gyana. 2 is Gyan, 3 is...
Should I get the book, or...?
3 is... I have it right here. Brihadbhagavatamrita 2, and... And this is all full of mistakes. Gyan is 2, 3 is bhajan, 451. And 451, if I go backwards, no, that's chapter, that was supposed to be, page 617, and welcome to the spiritual kingdom. Visible or not, meditation makes sense. Maybe on the fourth.
Which chapter is it? Part two or part one?
Part two. End of chapter 3.
Okay, because what I see here is part 2, then there's chapter 5, prema, love of God, 6, abhishta lava, the attainment of all desires, and 7, jagadananda, the bliss of all the
world. Chapter 3. Part 2.
There's no chapter. According to the books, there's no part, the chapter
3. Oh, I call part 1 narrowed with what you call volume 1, and then volume 2, chapter 3.
Volume 2.
Well, there's 3 volumes.
Yeah. So it's in the last volume, or?
No, it's in volume 2.
It is the
no, this is, but this is volume 3. This is volume 3.
Oh, okay.
This is part 2, volume 3.
Oh, okay, so volume 2. All right.
It's beyond that. It's from.
Okay, yes. Vairagya, Jnana, Bhajan, Vaikuntha. Mm-hmm. So it's in chapter 3?
End of chapter 3.
Well, in text 184, there's talk about the holy name.
It's even before that.
Yes. Meditation makes sense when the Supreme Lord cannot be seen, not when He is directly present. Uh-huh.
What?
Maybe. Text 168. The Vaikuntha messengers say that Nama Sankirtan cannot be disrupted by obstacles, for it develops by the mercy of the Lord, not by one's own endeavor.
Yep, and there's more.
Nama Sankirtan, in fact, appears only when prema has been enhanced in a special way. Prema enriched with transcendental hankerings results in Sankirtana. A lot.
Well, it's wonderful. Here it is.
Which text?
This is from starting 138. Even if persons whose vision is limited and materialistic think devotional service just another kind of karma, it is not at all. Let them think that way and let them talk in that way as they do when they dismiss as material the bodies and personal qualities of the Lord's associates. Then it continues. In Vaikuntha and elsewhere, the transcendental nature of devotional activity spontaneously shows itself in the suitably formed satchin on the bodies of the Lord's devotees, composed of limbs and senses. We ourselves are evidence of this truth as associates of the Lord of Vaikuntha. We constantly spread devotional service in many ways and yet are untouched by the material modes. Devotional service appears to new servants of the Lord to be a function of their own senses, body, and mind, so that such neophytes can engage in devotional service with relish as they should. And in the quote on the bottom, then Sanatan says, "Oh, my own tongue is vibrating the names of God, and my own ears are hearing them." In this way, the faith of neophytes is evoked, since otherwise would have difficulty making the effort required to surrender their independence. But great devotees fixed in devotional service do not think the services they do to be actions under their own control, but expressions of the Lord's supreme mercy. And then, well, I think there's just a little more explanation of that.
Beautiful.
It's this glorification of the holy name is particularly here. It's really extraordinary.
I'll check it out once again.
And then that one verse where there's 14-page purport on the glorification of Sadhusanga. Not 14-page, 41-page. 40-page. Purport. Narada talking. I can't remember, but it's a really beautiful elaboration on that. Sadhusanga. Oh, tomorrow. Yeah. Tomorrow I have a meeting here, and then from here I will go to a temple for a meeting there.